And I've never done a show quite like this on this particular show. We got Dave Mason in studio with Winnie, and we've got a great new album that just came out from them. Dave Mason, Steve Cropper, Rock and Roll Review. Oh, and it's got my friend and your friend, Gretchen
Rhodes is on there. Oh, yes.
We love it. I got to do the little intro, and it's probably all outdated. But
okay.
It's from your website.
Okay.
It's not Wikipedia.
Well, as long as you don't get it from Wikipedia,
that's
Wikipedia fine.
Gets it all screwed up,
oh,
right?
Please.
Anyway, let's first of all go. I've always loved your music, not just because you're a singer-songwriter, but because you have the quality of lyrics that are introspective and yet being able to carry well in the song, which is a real gift. And I'm going to go Facebook Live, if you don't mind.
Okay.
It takes a lot of work to get that together, where you can do a rock and roll song with a tinge of blues and get them out and have it make sense, which you've done. And that comes across in the new CD you just put out.
Well, mostly the new CD is really an homage to all the stuff us Brits learned from, which is, of course, every American blues player and jazz player that existed. And this particular is a live album with myself and Steve Cropper. And Steve Cropper, which came as a big surprise to me, in America, not really aware of who the heck he is.
Oh, if you like rock and roll, you know Steve Cropper.
Well, if you are an aficionado and you know your history and stuff, then yes. But most people, they really have no clue that, you know, he's...
Wow.
You're talking about somebody that backed every Stax artist there ever was.
One of the greats.
Was one of the writers of Dock on the Bay, Midnight Hour, things like that.
And got to play with...
Booker T and the MGs. So... And most people, which is kind of odd for me, is most people would know him from the Blues Brothers movie, frankly. But otherwise, the history is vast. So, for me, it was just great to go out on and do this with him and get to sing some songs that I would never normally do.
Well, songs
like The Midnight Hour, for instance.
And Green Onions is in there. You didn't sing to that unless
I'm not singing to that. No, that's purely Steve.
Try a Little Tenderness.
That's
one
Gretchen.
Of the all-time. Is she singing on that?
Oh, yeah. She kills it. Try a Little Tenderness. And what's the other one she's on there?
Get this on the picture here. Wouldn't you hold it
up? Oh, well, wouldn't you know? Because I don't have my damn reading glasses.
I can tell. I can
she's
do
on
it.
The...
Winnie can do it.
Yeah, which one? There you go, Win.
We've got Winnie.
Help us out. It's my wife, Winifred.
And she's beautiful, and she's from Texas.
When something
was wrong with my baby. You got to come in.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, great, great. That's the new one.
Yeah, those two songs are Gretchen. And also, she does, there's a great version of, which is my other guitar player, John Sambatero, who was actually, John's played on God knows how many records. And was the lead singer with Firefall for quite a long time. But they do a great version of Can't Find My Way Home.
Well, we love Gretchen. Gretchen has been living here on Maui for a while. And, of course, got to sing a lot with the Mick Fleetwood Band.
Yes.
And is that where you stole her from originally?
I did. I stole her from everybody here.
But it was so cool to see her on the road because... It was just great. I followed on Instagram, and I followed and saw the pictures on Facebook and everything, and she's very good at that. But she's very humble, beautiful, and she's got an amazing voice on top of that.
Yes, she does.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely does. And so it's great to have that. But on this new CD, you go back to your roots as well, because you've got roots that go way back. I mean, deep, deep roots. My God. I mean, you played with Jimi Hendrix and All Along the Watchtower.
I played the acoustic guitar on that and sang on Crosstown Traffic.
All Things Must
played
Pass.
Played on All Things Must Pass. I played on Beggar's Banquet.
Venus and Mars
Venus
with
and
Sir
Mars.
Paul.
Listen to What the Man Said. Phoebe Snow, Graham Nash.
I love Phoebe Snow. Love Phoebe.
Of course, Traffic.
Yeah.
Founding member of Traffic. And Oh, gosh. But there's other stuff that I
You
not
left
even
traffic
know.
And decided to go out on your own and move to the U.S., which was a big deal. I mean, that's a very bold move. Obviously you toured. Is there, because when you toured, you decided U.S. was where it's at, or?
No, it was more. It was more of a. There wasn't evidently an appreciation for my contribution to traffic anymore. So,
which is interesting because you're the founding member.
I had to leave.
It's like, wait a second, I started this.
And so I decided to just. I figured if I was. I might as well come where it all started. I mean, which is here, which is America, is where it all comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Country, blues, jazz, gospel, all of it. We just copied it. We just learned everything. I mean, there'd be no Eric Clapton if it wasn't for every great blues player that existed, or Jeff Beck. We just took everything and put our own spin on it and sold it back to you.
Well, you know, as
and wonderful, turned you onto some stuff in the meantime.
Exactly. I'll take that, because every single blues player who found that you were doing these things and the other guys were doing these things certainly got discovered as well. And all of a sudden,
absolutely. Hopefully.
All of a sudden,
hopefully
they were,
so.
Some of them were able to make money.
Yep.
What a concept, yep. Right?
Yep. Absolutely. Hopefully so.
And so you understood that, and that's very much the roots of where you go with it, right? Because you know your roots, and then you take it and you fly with it.
Right.
And you, as a singer-songwriter, it's so different than just being a singer in a band or a guitar player in a band. There is something about doing your own music and getting your own ideas expressed out there that I think is very fulfilling. I mean, you were obviously having your words are almost psychological in a lot of your lyrics, you know. You go into that, and I have to appreciate that. I mean, I always did. I've been a DJ for 40 years. I'm lying. It's 40-plus years, but I'm not going to say how long.
Okay.
But, I mean, I've played all your music over the years.
Yeah.
And it certainly could relate to it. And it's so funny because people always think that, well, rock and roll, sex, drugs, rock and roll. And certainly there was that. But then there was the ones that went above that and survived and did well because they had their own understanding of what they want to express. So what have you been trying to express besides great guitar playing and music and good bands and amazing people to work with? There's your own message you're getting out through your music.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of it comes from when I was younger. And I was writing about my take on things, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They're all love songs in some sort of way. They're all personal. But that being said, pretty much everybody's, you know, there's, as I always say, there's really nothing new. This just comes in a different box with another bow wrapped around it. But other than some technological innovation, what happens between people is pretty much universal and the same all over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be expressed in a different way, but we all need the same things. And so basically I'm just was just putting my own little spin on things that I saw. And if people picked up on it, well, that was great.
Well, I loved it, and I could relate to it, and I always appreciated your music, and the fact that you did keep going and somehow land up here with Winnie on Maui.
Yes.
Is an interesting. I mean, that's in itself. You're going to be doing
somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean here.
Winnie, you're going to be doing a book. Are you going to be writing about that experience, or what do you want to cover in your book?
Oh God, it's got everything.
Yes, I had been teaching yoga for 10 years.
Oh well, that's great.
Before I went out on tour, and you can imagine the difference of a life of a yogini in quiet Ojai, California, than going out on a rock and roll tour. But it was actually there that the practices of yoga came alive. And so the book is about the practices of yoga in everyday life with the background of the experience of a rock tour.
Well, I guess you and Chelsea can relate, right?
Yes, yes,
Chelsea's
indeed.
A mixed other, and she's a yoga teacher, and also she teaches Italian, I think, as well. She teaches Italian, but you know what? It's living that yoga is where it comes in, because you really need to stay centered when you're going through all that stuff you go through on the road.
Right. And grounded and centered and kind and patient and, you know, all the teachings.
When you want to yell, rip somebody's head off.
I won't book a room when I'm going on the road. I travel quite a bit. And I won't book a room if I don't have enough room to meditate and have a good window, you know, to do and to look out at and to be able to do yoga. You need a little space, not a whole bunch, but you need a little space in your room to do your yoga, right? You know what I'm saying, right?
Right, right. in fact, I just finished writing a chapter about the fact that I rolled out my mat in between where the closet on the bus, between where the closets are and where the bunk space is, and it's just perfect for a yoga mat.
Little roller right down the middle.
Right down the middle, and, you know, windowless and rolling down the highway, and that's where I would practice some days because
okay,
that was
so,
the available
so
space.
So did you talk Dave Mason into doing yoga?
Yeah. Every day she does.
Seriously? Do you do it, though? Do you actually do it?
In my mind.
In your Okay, it's one thing to visualize yoga. It's another thing to actually participate with the body.
And she's got a really cute, a nice title for it. It's called Down Dog for Road Dogs.
That's wonderful. Down Dog for Road Dogs. I want a copy of that.
I will that's absolutely wonderful. Get one to you.
Well, I want to see, because I've done a few of these myself. You're going to be doing a blue cruise, not a blue cruise.
Yeah, it's called the blue cruise because it's basically... sponsored by Justin Hayward, who is, it's not the whole Moody Blues, it's just Justin Hayward, myself, I'm on it. It goes out of Miami on February 10th to the 15th. I don't know who all is on it, frankly. I know Todd Rundgren.
Oh, I love Todd. Is he still living in Kauai?
I have no idea.
Well, he was living in Kauai.
Vanilla Fudge.
Oh, my gosh.
And after that, you'll have to go online and look, folks, because I really don't know.
Well, you know, at least it's not hurricane season.
Well, that's...
So you don't have to worry about that.
Exactly.
Right? And you will be able to try to get your cabin with enough space to do yoga. They probably have a spa where you could do yoga, but it's kind of nice to do it on your own terms, right? In your room. So that could be another chapter.
Indeed. I blog about these various things because
absolutely.
Been able to practice all through, you know, anywhere we stop, I usually try to find a studio.
Where did you blog?
Green room.
Yes, tell us.
Tell the folks what your blog is.
Oh, it's on WinifredWilson.com.
That's two N's?
One N.
WinifredWilson.com.
Yes.
I want to read it.
Yeah,
really
she's good. She's a good writer.
Yeah. So you're doing it on the road? You're writing on the road?
Yes.
Everywhere.
Yes.
So when are you going to do your book, Dave?
Oh, God.
Okay.
Well, if I could remember anything, I might.
That's why you got to do it, because the memory gets worse and worse.
Yeah, I know. Mine is. I can't. It's just...
There's so many ways to do it. You're a good talker. You could just get a recorder and talk it and let someone...
Yeah. I mean, if I had... I don't know. I got people on my Facebook constantly asking about it.
Yeah. Your Facebook is at Dave Mason?
What is it, Dave?
Dave Mason Music.
Dave Mason Music.
Well, the website's DaveMasonMusic.com. Mm-hmm. And I guess the Facebook is Dave Mason Music. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
It's Dave Mason Music, folks. Check it out.
So I have to say, and this is just my personal opinion, I've done a lot of interviews, but you seem like a person who is pretty much real. And is it easy to get swept away when you're doing your thing of like, okay, I'm Dave Mason and people are going to be treating me like I'm Dave Mason, or how to stay human and away from the ego and the other fame trips?
Oh. Well, I suppose I was subject to it when I was younger. But I never got into this to be a quote rock star. I basically got into it to make music. And have fun and make a living. That's basically why I got started doing this. probably the worst way to get into anything for making a living, by the way.
Well, that's it. And it's gotten harder, right?
The problem is like the internet is, I mean, everybody hates me talking about it because, well, you can't talk about that. That's negative. That's this.
No, you can.
But the reality is the internet is destroying intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
And it's most certainly, you know, for for an artist selling his music, it's devastating.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more so for the writer, because there's if you're a songwriter, you're just it's you know, everybody's either stealing it or downloading it, mm-hmm. or what they call file sharing,
mm-hmm.
and you know.
Well, those one pennies from these.
Well,
you get a penny,
and then even,
a penny a play.
But then you even get, you know, then you go to Spotify and, uh-huh. and Pandora, and
yeah.
they're not paying
yeah.
the correct royalties at all.
I agree.
To artists.
Yep.
I think so they just passed something in Congress for
they did.
For us.
They did.
But you know, we're artists, musicians. We're down the totem pole here somewhere in terms of.
No, it is true.
You know.
Yeah, and a lot
but
of.
But what would life be without music? I mean, imagine not having any anywhere. So, it's too big to. The only way you could really probably do anything about it is if the artists en masse could get themselves together. And just say, hey, no, that is, you can't play that or you can't play this. But unfortunately, that seems to be rather, you know, everybody's on their own trip. And then you have managers and everybody else, and they've all got their own agendas. And
well, I think
so
a lot of people I know just say, well, we're just going to have to give it away for free and accept that that's what it is. And the only way you make money is by playing gigs and selling CDs,
well,
right?
For me, it's not... on that end of things, nothing's new there. I've been playing live since I was 16.
Wow. And you haven't gotten tired of it?
No, I love playing live.
That's why you keep doing
I'm
it.
I'm good at it.
Yeah.
And I can still walk and talk and stand up.
See, and that's why.
So,
know, the new CD for real, Dave Mason and Steve Cropper, Rock
yes,
and Roll Review.
Steve Cropper.
My God, just coming out. Just
well, as you say, the you know, there is no... putting, I mean, I don't really, you know, I have to admit, I don't really write that, I don't, occasionally, something will pop out, but I don't really, making a CD is somewhat an exercise in futility anymore, and not, it's just,
but you gotta have it, right?
It's not just that, it's just, you know, people just don't seem to realize it actually costs money to make a CD.
Oh yeah, it does.
Like, it doesn't just fall, it's not growing on a tree somewhere.
Yeah.
So, but there's a culture, there's a whole culture growing up. There's just, it's all this free stuff. And, you know, and that's, for me, the way I grew up, it's not the way to do it. But that's the way it is. I make CDs and we take them on the road.
And people buy them.
And people, yeah, absolutely.
And they want you to sign them.
And why not? I mean, as I keep telling everybody, you'll go into Starbucks and drop, what is it, $5-6 on a mocha frappe latte, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's gone like that. Music will last you a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree with you. And then there's people just streaming, and I always put out CDs. If I do anything, it's on a CD, even though I've never made money back from anything I've done. But there is something like, okay, you brought this in. I still can put it in a CD player over here, mm-hmm. and I can play it. Yeah, there's a way to do it MP3, but believe me, on radio, it's not as easy to get it in if you don't have a CD, and people don't understand that.
Right.
By the way, you get people saying hi and how much they love you, and Denny Fiddler said you were her landlord.
I
in
was.
Ojai, California for a few years. I don't know.
I don't think I was her landlord.
Okay.
I've never been a
in Ojai?
I've never been a renter, so I can't say I've...
She
must be thinking of, there was another Mason there, Dave Mason, that owned the flower shop there, actually. There was.
Is there really? Seriously?
Yeah, in Ojai, yeah.
There you go. So, well, let's first of all, there's a lot of great songs on this new CDs.
A lot of classic stuff.
Yeah, that's and great. You go back to your roots here with All Along the Watchtower.
Yeah.
Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Yeah.
And you got to do Feeling All Right, which is that
well,
your best selling? Is that one of the top
well,
ones?
Well, there's over 50 major artists that have recorded it.
Wow, 50.
And bar bands still play it.
Wow.
So it's like.
So you got to do it.
I have to thank Joe Cocker for that, though.
And, of course, the low spark of High Heel Boys, which I always love.
Well, that's my version of it on there,
mm-hmm.
which is, I think, a really cool version.
Do you want to make a comment, and we'll play this low spark
Yeah, which
of,
do you want to play?
Well, there's so many. I want to play it all because I
why
love
don't you
each
play,
one of
Why don't
songs.
You play Gretchen first?
But you, Dave.
Yeah, but no.
Okay.
Play Gretchen.
Try a little tennis.
Or you want me to? Because actually, no. Play Lois Park, because that's me and Gretchen both.
Okay.
Both singing on that.
So
it's a long song. We can go out and have some donuts while that's.
How
playing.
Long is it? No, it's not 23 minutes.
No. 23 minutes.
I mean, not that I didn't love that. It was with DJ from way back when we played records.
Right.
I mean, I love being able to go to the bathroom when a long song was
exactly.
on, you know, and stuff, as long as I didn't lock myself out. But let's give a little backstory, and you talk about it while I set the
Or if you want
up.
To start with something with me doing it, then play Midnight Hour.
Okay.
Because that's... classic Steve Cropper, and I get a chance to sing a song that I would never normally do unless it was...
But you didn't write The Midnight Hours?
I did not write it, but there's a bunch of things on there okay. I did not write.
Okay, so that's the first track it sees. I'm going to let you talk a little bit about that while I set this up. It takes me a minute over
well,
here to set this up.
Midnight Hour, this is all... I mean, this is kind of stuff that I grew up on. This is... and, of course, Cropper played on the... I'm not sure if he... does it say what they wrote that? Was put a writer on that, honey?
Yes.
Yeah. And Cropper was a writer on Midnight Hour. Wilson Pickett. Wow. And Steve, of course, and Booker T were the backing band on that. And I get a chance to sing it. I'm not Wilson Pickett, but it was a kick to be able to do it.
Did you and Steve feeding off each other and knowing that roots that he had and you had... Did you find yourself being able to kind of do new things and get into other jams and things that you normally wouldn't have thought of when you were doing this live on the road?
Well, maybe a few things, but mostly with Cropper stuff, we stick mostly to the arrangement.
To be honest, to the roots of it.
Yeah.
Creation.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to play this. I'm on Facebook Live, so to be Facebook Live and play a CD... I have to turn the mic off while I'm doing this, which I'll do for a little while, or I may go off Facebook Live. But let me get this going here. Ooh, oh. Okay, I have to say in here, as we're listening to this, there's a lot of punch to this. More than I heard on the original. And it's a tight, tight band.
Yeah, that's my band.
Do you have horns in there?
They're on the keyboard.
Keyboards. I like that tight, it's like you get on a tight horn system when you get that punch, right?
Yeah.
It's great. Play it for me one time now. Your voice sounds fantastic. Now that's the keyboards doing that.
That's Steve and the keyboard.
Wow. Yeah. I love it. That, you know what? That's very, very hot. No, I mean, there's no excuses here, and there's no reason. I mean, that is as hot as it can be. I mean, that's awesome. I'm totally in love with that.
Thank you.
You got good stuff going on there, and that band is as tight as you could get it to be.
Yeah, well, they've been with me for a while.
Wow, I'm impressed. Now, we're going to move on to the next song, because I'm really loving this music.
Okay.
Okay, I'm talking to Dave Mason here, and Winifred, and Winnie's going to be doing a book, doing Down Dog, Road Dog?
Down Dog for Road Dogs.
Down Dog. I love it. A yoga teacher on the road giving tips on how to do it, which I think I can relate to and many people can. It's really important. I put a book out called How to Fly with Less Stress. I have two versions of it. Because, you know, when you're traveling, you can really get off center, especially when you're flying. So I have meditations and things you can do for flying and exercises you can do in the plane. You know, like you have to do certain exercises to keep yourself going on these long, long flights, and there's more and more long flights, right?
Yes. It's actually a perfect time. I mean,
it is to meditate, to exercise, to write. You could write a whole book on a long flight. You you could. Now, okay, the next one you have here is Only You Know and I Know, which I love. But you wanted to do Low Spark of High Heel Boys? You pick the song. You tell me.
Well, let's do what. But do one of Gretchen at this point.
Try a Little Tenderness?
Yeah, sure. You can do Try a Little Tenderness.
I mean, that takes nerve to Try a Little Tenderness because Otis is Otis.
Kills it.
And that's track with that 5. Green Onions, track 4. You got some of the best songs on here. This is so exciting. This is track 5. I'll get to that. Here we go. I mean, Gretchen is awesome. Here we go. And I think this is it. Okay. And that's the keyboards doing this, not horns. Boy, good for me. Oh, you want your head, sister?
She may be weaving.
Oh, yeah.
Them young girls, they do get wearied. Wearing in that same old shaggy dress. Yeah. But when she gets weary, try a little tenderness. Oh, yeah. You know she's weary.
Do you have a Hammond B-52?
No.
Anticipating the that you'll never, never possess. Oh, yeah. Oh, but while she's there waiting, without them, try a little tenderness.
Boy, that's beautiful. She's got a rich, warm voice, doesn't she?
Yeah.
You know what I love about her, too? She sings right on key.
Yeah.
She gets the center of the note, and she never goes flat or high or sharper. And she's
sentimental. No.
And she's a rock and roll mom.
She is.
She's got her kids.
Mm-hmm.
Allegra's been out on tour with us.
Oh, really? Does she do yoga with you?
They watch cartoons in the back of the bus.
That's beautiful. Wow. That's so beautiful. That's wonderful. Oh, another song I love you do, Can't Find My Way Home.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's one of my favorites.
Gretchen and my other guitar player, Johnny, with me playing lead guitar. It's a great version.
It's a beautiful, beautiful song. And the Low Spark of High Heel Boys, which you have in here too. We Just Disagree, Hip Hugger, and Dock of the Bay. Oh, my God. Who sings Dock of the Bay?
Tony, my keyboard player.
That's a great song. That's a tough one to take on, too. How do you take on Dock of the Bay? My gosh. Wow.
Tony gets it.
Which one do you want to try next? Which song?
Soul Man? How about Can't Find My Way Home?
I love that song. Okay, so I'm going to do that. It's two up here. This song is so beautiful. This was written by Steve Winwood, right?
Steve Winwood and somebody else, I think, wrote the lyrics.
I've always loved this song. Is that Steve Cropper playing?
No, that's me.
That's you? Huh? What kind of guitar do you play?
A Stratocaster.
But I'm in the end and I just ain't got the time.
Beautiful.
And I'm wasted and I'm
upper register singing. That's you're getting way up there in those.
That's Johnny, my other guitar player.
No, but when you sing, that takes a good range to get.
Oh, he's got a pretty high range.
Out the blues in Gretchen. She's bluesier on this CD than I've ever heard before.
Yeah.
Maybe Steve Cropper and you.
Moving her that way.
Just beautiful. So do you get memories when you do these songs? Do you like, I'm not going to say flashbacks, but every song has an energy field, you know, and a history to it. And when you're doing these songs and you think of over the years of creating them, playing them with the group, going on your own and doing them, do you get certain feelings, emotions that come up with some of these songs?
Sometimes. Mostly it's just you're caught up in the moment when you're playing live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like anything. If you're thinking about it, you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. So,
that's a good point. No, that's very true.
So it's just doing it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you have to bring it there. But I have to say, the thing that impresses me on this is that your quality of your voice and Gretchen's, your voice has never sounded better. I mean, a lot of times over years, just the abuse of living and what happens, you know, with people singing wrong, and I hate to say it, but a lot of rock and roll singers aren't singing right? I mean, it's sad kind of to hear sometimes that the voice is kind of starting to go away at a certain point, right?
Yep.
But I really honestly, your voice sounds amazing.
Well, thank you.
Do you do anything particular to try to save your keep your quality of your voice up? Or?
Amazingly, no.
Huh. Well, that's because I'm impressed. Having been in radio all my life, you know, I hear my voice going, my voice is it as good as it used to be? It's hard to maintain that with your voice. But is it, maybe it's just the fact that you keep on doing this and that you're
out
there.
Well, that too. I mean, I just, for me, it's gotten better over the years.
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I heard your voice on this and I'm going, wow, you actually sound stronger than you did on some of the earlier recordings.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, now you go.
But I play live so much. I've been playing live over 50 years. So
you joined. I had Pat Simmons Jr. in here yesterday, and you know, he's such a sweetheart, isn't he? That family is just just amazing that you could have a family like that.
Yeah, I went and played with him at the Mac.
He mentioned that
recently. Yeah.
And he was really thrilled to be able to have you join him. And here's a guy, you know, he's got the history and he's able to join his father playing, and then he's able to have people like you come on. And so it's really thrilling that people, and like Gretchen, you know, you're bringing up with both Pat Simmons Jr., who's 28 now. I've seen him growing up. And with Gretchen, you're bringing up some of these people are going to be impressed by what they learned from you and be able to carry that on. It's like a legacy that carries on with some of the great new young singers.
Yeah, hopefully
players,
so,
right?
Hopefully so.
And that's a nice thing to be able to do there. Tell me about the meeting up of you and Steve Cropper and how you decided and talked him into going on the road on this tour.
Oh, Cropper. I met him a long time ago in Los Angeles, years ago. Hadn't seen him, and then we met up, must be nearly 2 years ago down in Nashville.
Is he living there now?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's lived there a long time. And so we met up, we had lunch, and I can't remember if that was when I had mentioned, because I've been doing Shep's events for the food bank for the last 3 years. And so I said, Shep, how about, would you like me to ask Steve Cropper if he'd come over and do something? So Shep was, yeah, sure, absolutely. So I talked to Steve, and he came and played last year here. And while he was here, I kind of threw around the idea of us. Basically, I was looking to put what's called Traffic Jam together, which is really a band of people doing Legacy to Traffic. And basically, it came down to just me and Steve. Other people weren't available, whatever. And so I said, well, why don't we just go do something with you and me? And that was how it basically started.
So at this point,
most of last year we were out doing the show, and then to add to it, we put Gretchen in the band, and which gave me a break from being Dave, having to be Dave all night long, which was fine.
So who are you when you're singing with Gretchen? If you're not
in the band, I'm just one of the guys in the band.
The other Dave.
The other Dave, yeah.
The background singer Dave.
Yep.
But still playing guitar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on it, yeah.
I mean, that's basically what I am. That's how I started.
And every guitar kind of has a kind of resonance with different players, and we don't want to overlook, because you're a great singer and you're a great songwriter, but you are a very good player as well. And, you know, you're out there with Steve Cropper. It's like, wow. But why the Fender Stratocaster?
I always wanted a Fender Stratocaster.
It's been your baby.
Since I was 13 years old.
Uh-huh. So, and that hasn't changed.
Girls, I want a Stratocaster.
The old one with the stripe down the neck, the old good.
Well, the old one with the piece in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some have been lost along the way. Right now, I play a custom Strat that Fender made for me.
How nice is that?
So
special pickups and everything for you.
Well, I have a humbucking pickup on the bridge, because I have some Les Paul guitars I use at home.
Yeah,
and I'll record with sometimes. So
you still go Gibson sometimes.
It gives me the option of having that tone.
Yeah,
but Stratocaster is just a beautiful piece of art.
Kind of cuts through too.
It's a beautiful. It's in the design world. It'll still look cool in 1,000 years from now.
That's true. What color?
And there's
is
not
yours?
Many things that you can design that will last the test of time. And you have to think was a guy. He was a radio repairman. That's who Leo Fender was. Yeah.
Wow.
In the '50s. Wow. So, it's just classic.
Absolutely.
And it's red.
Oh, you got a red one.
Yeah.
Like Hank Marvin.
Yeah. It's red.
Oh, that's nice. And how cool is it that you can have one made for you? I mean, that's got to be, that must have been a thrill when you got that shipped to you, or did you go pick it up in person?
No, I went to the factory and said, here's what I want. Uh-huh. And here's, you know, and so.
And then you got it. It's like Christmas all over again.
It's just like Christmas.
How many guitars do you own?
Oh, God. It's not that many. I don't know, maybe about 15 or 16.
Well, that's not bad. No, that's manageable.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I wish I had some of the ones I owned years and years ago, of course, because who knew the guitars were going to become that valuable?
Well, I had a musical instrument store in Westwood, and I had those old original Fenders and the original old Martins and the Gibson Hummingbird guitars.
There you go.
And I had all that, and it's like, oh, yeah, if I start to think about what it's
right.
Going on.
Well, everybody's got those stories.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Everybody's got a version of that,
yeah,
trust me.
I believe you. So Steve Cropper, what does he play?
Guitar.
Yeah, I know he plays guitar. What kind of guitar?
Steve, well, obviously he was a Telecaster man, and I'm not sure what that, he has something that he had made for him at this point.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
not exactly sure what it is, to be honest with you. There, it's a better picture of it.
Does he know? But it's still definitely,
but it's still a Telecaster shape.
Yeah. Well, Steve Cropper is one of the greats, and you started the show. We said how some people don't know his background, but it's like, wow. And he's one of the all-time greats. If you like rock and roll, you have to know, in my mind, who's
well,
Steve Cropper is.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he's playing on pretty much every single Stax record ever released.
Yeah, yeah. And Stax, well, we have Ron Mittig out here. He actually worked at Stax.
Carla Thomas, Rufus mm-hmm. Thomas, Wilson Pickett, Albert King, Doc of the Bay, Otis Redding.
Otis, yeah.
You know, he's on all that stuff.
So which one of these do you think expresses him on the CD of a song?
Well, I guess you'd have to play Green Onions.
I think we'd have to play a little Green Onions. Where does he find out where this is here? Green Onions.
I think it's
Onions
the fourth
is,
one, isn't it?
You are so right. You did this where? How'd you do the recordings of these?
Well, they're all live. If you play till the end, you got the audience in there. We rehearsed the show at a friend of mine in North Carolina. They own a big farm, and he recreated a Western town, and built a saloon that with a stage and everything there. So we went there for a week to rehearse, and then they had a private party on the last day, and we recorded it, and that's where all this stuff's from.
From a town you built.
From a town, not that I built, but my friends built. Yes.
I mean, this is like fantasy land, right?
Kind of. Yeah, yeah.
With a stage on it.
Full stage, everything.
And you had a little studio and sound guy and the whole thing there.
Pro Tools set up there and everything.
And it came out really good.
Came out great. And then I mixed it at home in my studio.
So you mixed it yourself?
Yeah.
Do you have a studio here?
No. We live in Reno, Nevada.
Oh, you live in Reno. Well, that's cool. It gets cold in the winter, though. That's why you have Maui,
that's
right?
That's why we're here.
I mean, Reno gets down in, what, 20s, 30s?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you get snow, right?
Mm-hmm. But it's right there by the Sierras, right? We're 40 minutes from Lake Tahoe.
Clean air.
Most beautiful spots on the planet.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely beautiful. But you don't go skiing and stuff.
I used to, a lot.
Lake Tahoe, it got too dangerous?
Yeah, not as stable. On,
you don't want to
I don't risk it.
It's not worth it, no.
I need these and I need to be, otherwise I'll be wheeling myself out there.
You'll be one of the rockers on walkers. So I want to hear about this amazing move that you did. And was it part of the Shep Gordon party thing that made you decide to have a party?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we came out here 3 years ago to do his party.
Uh-huh.
And Winifred had, in her other incarnation, five art galleries.
Wow.
One of them was in Lahaina.
Oh, really? Mm. I didn't know that. Which one?
Addy Galleries on Front Street.
Oh, really? And that's high rent.
It is. And a lot of fun, too.
And a lot of fun, too.
Great business.
Wow. And do you do art as well? Or is that
no,
why? Oh,
no.
You just liked having the art gallery.
Just ran a company, yes.
Well,
yes.
That's kind of fun. Did you actually do sales, or you just got it going and everything?
I did sales and also did all the management of the company.
That's a lot of work.
It was a lot of work.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, and the art thing changed here drastically when we didn't get as many Japanese tourists, and they were buying a lot of the art for a long time, and then it kind of changed. And
right. Yeah, the whole market, art market, had a big transition that happened. I'm delighted to see that it's back up and running, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
So you.
So she, well, she, point being, she lived here. So and.
Then you kept coming.
And she also went to college in Honolulu.
Not which school?
University of Hawaii.
Really?
Yes, my freshman year.
How
yes.
cool.
So she's a Hawaii girl. So.
She was your carrot.
Yes. I'm dragged here. So we were 3 years ago. 3 years
wow.
ago, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No. She said, I found this place.
Oh, so you even found the place.
Oh, of course. Yeah, she found the place. She found the place, and it was the right price and a great spot. And I was like, okay.
And here we are. I love it here. This is my one of my favorite places on the planet.
Maui. Well, me too. Mm-hmm. And I thought I'd be here for 6 months when I moved here 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I had my stuff in storage back in Sonoma, where I had a radio station, KVRE, in Sonoma County. But I finally got the stuff out 5 years later. I went, I guess I'm staying, right? You know, I guess it's time to move my stuff out, right? I mean, so you got it right away that this was great. So now when do you decide? Well, you're on the road a lot. I mean, you're on the road about half a year, more than half a year?
Mostly, yes.
And how do you stay healthy? I know, Winifred. How do you stay healthy? Because it's hard when you're on the road, and it really is hard on the body. It's hard on the whole mind, the whole thing, the eating, the whole discipline really can go to pot when you're on the road. You know, it's really hard. So do you help be his manager, a physical his
she
coach?
Gave up. She gave up.
She gave up.
Unmanageable.
Well, like, what happens when you eat it? What you have a meal at your dinner at 1 o'clock in the morning or something? How do you handle?
No. I frankly don't eat after for the most part. I don't eat latest. Ideally, at around 4 o'clock is it for me.
Well, that's you know that's.
I can't sleep otherwise. I can't sleep promptly.
You're very good. That's you so, and the, you know the Dalai Lama doesn't eat. Dinner? Did you know that?
Yeah, I can't. It's too late. It's too late for me. Uh-huh. I can't do that.
That's why you stay in shape.
So basically, yeah, I'm somewhat in shape.
No, you stay in shape. you're looking really good for that. Yeah, and so that and just kind of putting a different mindset. How's your life here when you come to Maui? You know, this is your downtime. How's your life here compared to when you're on the road together? Is it a different life entirely when you're here? Do you get to play staycation and get out and enjoy the beach and just kind of cool off and chill?
Yes. I mean, it's very
she
much.
She has not missed one sunset. Because it may not happen tomorrow, okay? So she's not missed one.
No, I love it. I go to the beach and do yoga and hike and swim and partake in all the natural beauty because we spend so much time inside and in green rooms and on the bus and such. Mm-hmm. So it's the counterpose. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely the counterpose to touring.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that you look forward to, like a vacation in a way then. So is it like a vacation?
Oh, my
when
God,
you,
it's, yes, yeah. Absolutely. You're kidding?
Magical and amazing and perfection in every way here.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
So
I
it's great.
You
never get tired of it that way because you can go and come back and enjoy it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best way. I really, truly do think that's the best way. So you're doing this blue cruise.
Yes.
How did you hook that up, or do you have an agent?
No, my agent.
Your agent hooked it up for
yes.
you. Yeah. Which isn't, you know, I've never been, I travel a lot, I do a lot of cruises. I just went to New Zealand and Australia. But I've never done one of these musical cruises, and I've thought of it because I heard that they are really great for being able to see people in a different setting and actually see the real person more than if you go to a concert. So have you done one of these before?
Yeah. We did Blues Cruise 2 years. Was it 2 years ago? 3 years?
Blues Cruise and the Rock Cruise.
The Rock Cruise, yeah. Me, I just tend to just stay in the cabin. She wants to see everything. Every band. There was one cruise was, God, there was so much. It was me, Doobie Brothers, Alice was on it.
Oh, really? All the Maui
then,
folks.
And then there was God knows how many. There was about 15 or 20 bands on this cruise.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I've got to check some of those out. I really need to check those out. That sounds amazing. So do you do shore excursions at all when you get into port, or are you just pretty much staying on the ship doing the music?
The previous ones, I think, only made one stop. Time.
Oh, my gosh. So they're not even doing
most of the time, they kind of just, you know, cruise around.
Keep going.
This one, evidently, I guess, is stopping... I think
there's
might
three.
Be stopping. No, I think twice it's stopping, but then there's one that's their own.
It's got a private,
private island.
I was looking at it.
Yeah.
Sounded pretty fun.
And me, I'll just be on the boat.
Yeah. Right. You've been there, done that.
I'll be on the boat.
Unless it's Richard Branson's private island.
I lived in St. Thomas for a long time.
Oh, so you've been there too.
2 weeks before Hurricane Hugo hit. That was an interesting.
Were you out before it hit?
No.
You were there?
In the house. And that was a serious hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
They were clocking. That thing lasted about 8 hours.
Wow.
And they were clocking 200 mile an hour sustained winds. It looked like an atom bomb had gone off the next day.
Did you have damage to the place?
No, I opened up the whole house. All the doors, all the windows.
Let the wind come through?
Everything, yeah. I just let it blow through. Because what happens if you seal the house up, what happens is the pressure, the damage mostly comes from the pressure buildup. And if there's nowhere for the pressure to go, then roofs come off and stuff. That's what really happens.
You know, that's very interesting.
So I just opened the whole place up and just...
I was like
the guy up in the mast in Forrest Gump yelling at the hurricane. Yeah.
Wow, that's memorable. Well, we've been pretty lucky in Maui, and we've had a few alerts, but none of that other stuff happened.
It's not as frequent and as often as the Caribbean. So,
oh, I know. Thank God. But weather's changing, and who knows?
Who knows?
But I want to remind people here that you can do the Blue Cruise. You can get on there and you can get on board and meet Winnie. Maybe do some yoga with her.
I'm not sure if they can. It's sold out.
Oh, is it sold out?
As far as I know.
Well, gosh, there you go. And that's amazing. Well, that shows some star power. I know. I'm impressed that it's sold out. But it is coming up pretty quick here.
It's coming up on the 10th of February.
So they'll have to wait till the next one.
Yeah, I mean, there may be some openings. I don't know. You know, that's what I hear, but it might not be completely sold out.
Well, you've been playing.
Check it out.
But you haven't played with Steve and Gretchen here. Have you ever thought of doing a gig with Gretchen and Steve here and doing your own gig?
Gretchen and Steve.
Steve Cropper and doing your own band.
Well, no, we did. We played the concert. When did I do my concert?
The Dave Mason Show last year.
Yeah, but last year, the Mac.
I missed that one.
You missed that one.
I don't know. Maybe I was traveling. I travel a lot. I don't know how I missed
Dave
that
Dave Mason
one.
Did a show here at the Mac last year.
Did Steve Crump?
No, he was not in that. Really? I mean, I'm lucky if I can get him out to do these, frankly. He's not really up for touring too much.
Well, I don't blame him, but this is a great CD.
It is a great CD.
It's called Dave Mason, Steve Cropper. It's called 4 Real, the number 4 Real, Rock and Roll Soul Review. Some of your best
songs.
It's
available through DaveMasonMusic.com. You can order the CD. We are a family business, so it takes a little while to get it to you. But
his handship. Hey, you got Alto, my buddy. I know.
Yes, Alto. I play Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
Oh, he's great. I love.
He's
Alto.
Playing on
he
that.
Played. He came here to play with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's my friend. I got him over here.
And you can check Winnie's wonderful advice and check out her blog at
WinifredWilson.com.
WinifredWilson.com, and be looking for her book, which will be coming out. Sometime soon.
Well, hopefully soon.
Hopefully soon.
It's time to get it finished.
Down
that.
Dog, Road Dog?
Down Dog for Road Dogs.
I got it close. Down Dog for Road Dogs. I will get it. I will get that one. I think it's a great idea, really. And I encourage you, get it finished because, yeah, there's always the other stuff that goes with it, you know.
Yes.
Getting it edited and out. But it'll be a good one.
Yeah, she's good. She's a good writer.
No one's done anything quite like that. So that's very
it's
important.
Unique.
Absolutely.
Indeed.
Well, it's really a treat to have you come in the studio. A lot of people don't do that anymore, and I'm impressed.
Well,
we're always honored.
When we're here, I'm always available, so
that's
anytime.
That's great to know. It really is wonderful to know. So a big mahalo to you and to you also, Winifred.
Thank you so much for hosting us.
Wonderful meeting you, and we'll get you in again soon. When you're late.